Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Mishnamad Bhadamant Swabraj, Gacharya Asada, Sisuad A.C., Bhaktivedanta Swami Siddha Prabhupada, Ghi Jai, Namachar Haridas Thakur Ghi Jai, Prem Subho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Siddhveda Gadadhar, Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Rindiki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopida, Shama Kunda Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadukam Ki Jai, Ganga Shamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Rindiki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Rindiki Jai, Go, Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gurangam. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this work, Rupa Goswami started out with identifying the obstacles to bhakti, starting with vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam. And after describing the obstacles, then he indicated the favorable items like enthusiasm and determination. And then he went on to discuss the association of devotees, how we can exchange with devotees in various ways, and how we should never offend the devotee and give respect to all the devotees. And it's through that respect for the devotees that we get the knowledge. We saw that one of the characteristics of exchange of affection was to give knowledge and receive knowledge. Guhyam akyati prachati. So we can only get that knowledge if we deal correctly with the devotees, particularly the senior devotees. So the last verse yesterday we discussed is that we have different types of devotees. So we give mental respect to someone that chants the name once, And we give physical respect or offer obeisances to one who has taken diksha and who's seriously practicing. And then we serve with devotion that devotee who is very fixed in devotional service. As a result of that, then we get teachings and we learn how to perform our bhakti properly. So, here, the next whole section is how to perform bhakti. And if we examine it closely, we see it is very much dedicated to serving in Vrindavan and the mood of the Brajavasis. So, this is the verse here. One should spend all one's time engaged in the mind and tongue in remembering and glorifying Krishna's name, form, and pastimes, living in Raja and in following the footsteps of the great devotees with great love for Krishna. So, in the Nectar Devotion, of course, we also find a similar statement. Or statements, and this can be taken as a very general statement, but also we look in the description of Raganuga Sadhana, we'll find this is very, very close to that. In the section on Sadhana Bhakti, there are two types, Vaidhi, which means following the rules and regulations, and Raganuga, following after the inhabitants of Raja, which indicates a more spontaneous type of devotion. What this also means is that in Vaidhi Bhakti, we give great regard to the Lord. We have great respect for the Lord. And we see Him as Supreme Lord. Whereas in Raganuga Bhakti, we don't see the Lord as the Lord. We see Him as the friend or the lover or the parent, the child, etc. So the concept of the Lord is quite different. So, and of course, if we want to enter into those pastimes in Vrindavan, then we have to adopt that type of mood also. And we can't enter Vrindavan and say, oh, here's the Supreme Lord, like Brahma. We can't do that. We have to see Krishna as the friend, or Krishna as the lover, or Krishna as the child, etc. So to do that, then we have that practice of Raganuga Bhakti. So, of course, it's also very similar in many ways to Vaidhi Bhakti in sadhana. In Vaidhi Bhakti, we also engage the mind and the tongue in remembering and glorifying the Lord. What do? We do kirtan, we do japa, we think of the Lord. We don't live in Vrindavan, but we try to live near a temple. And we follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas also. So, it's quite similar. Well, the only thing, of course, as I said, the concept with which we do that. In Raganuga Sadhana, we often think of people doing Raganuga as being quite different, but they actually, according to the scriptures that we have, like Nectar Devotion, they follow a very similar type of conduct externally. They may follow many of the same angas of bhakti that the person following Vaidhi Bhakti follows. So simply by looking at them externally, we cannot tell what type of bhakti they're doing. But there's also a prominence of certain things like absorption in the Lord, remembrance, and more chanting, etc. In Nectar Devotion, it is said that there's two aspects of the Raganuga Sadhana. One is to act like a normal devotee, like Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami living in Vrindavan. So they worship deities, they study scripture, they discuss with each other, they do kirtan, they chant japa, etc. So that's the external activity. The internal activity, of course, is remembering the Lord and His pastimes. And then there's a more particular type of meditation in which one identifies oneself as a resident of Raja and one serves in that particular body. And this is what gives rise to that controversy called the Siddha Pranali, where the guru gives you your manjari bhava or whatever, your identity is a manjari, and then you meditate on that and you serve in that way. Yeah? So that's the more controversial part of it. So that's the part of the internal service, remembering the Lord and his pastimes and then serving in that particular body for the Lord. And it's not so controversial in one sense, except as the aspect of Madhurya Rasa, which is more confidential. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the regular devotee shouldn't read Govinda Lilamrita, which is the pastimes of Krishna and Radha in 8 parts of the day, because it's all Madhurya Rasa. And instead, he says we read other things. So there's some controversy over the pastimes of Radha and Krishna for neophyte devotees. However, Raghunuga does not only mean Manjari Bhava or Sakhi Bhava. It's all of the bhavas in Vrindavan. So we also have Vatsalya Bhava or Sakya Bhava in Raghunuga Bhakti. So in fact, there was a line, though the main, at the present moment, the main lines are all acting like a manjari. Previously there was a line which cultivated sakya, friendship. And one would identify as a cowherd boy and then meditate on cowherd boy pastimes with Krishna, getting up in the morning and going to greet Krishna when he wakes up, and then dining with Krishna in the morning with Nanda Maharaj, and then milking the cows with Krishna, and then going out in the fields with Krishna and playing with Krishna, and then coming back in the evening. So these were the meditations for Sakya Bhav, Raghunuga Bhakti, all described in one booklet by Nayan Ananda. So just like we have pastimes of Radha and Krishna in 8 parts of the day, so we have the pastimes of Krishna with the cowherd boys in 8 parts of the day, and one meditates on that. So there was a group at one time who were following that process. So that would not be so controversial. And again, we have a whole sampradaya dedicated to Vatsalya Raghunuga. That's the followers of Vallabha Acharya. So they worship baby Krishna. And the mood is not Vaidhi, but that of Raghunuga. So they're always thinking of how to serve Krishna because he's a small child, and they cook for him and serve him in that way. So there's nothing controversial about that also. They don't have any choice. There is no Vaidhi Bhakti in their whole sampradaya. It's all Raghunuga. But it's Vatsalya. So there's no problem there. So the controversy has arisen in the Gaudiya Sampradaya because of the Madhurya Bhava aspects. And then the upasambradayas that resulted from that, with different groups doing various things which are not according to the scripture. So, getting back to the Raghunuga Sadhana, it is the process by which one can finally realize relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, where one does not see Krishna as Supreme Lord, but in a relationship of friendship, or as a parent of Krishna, or as the lover of Krishna. So that's the internal service, is where you identify with your particular body there in the spiritual world and serve Krishna like that. So that becomes a part of the Raghunuga Bhakti. Because a lot of devotees are not so used to internal cultivation in the form of meditation or smaranam, it may be a little difficult for them. And so therefore, in the beginning of devotional service, for many people it's easier simply to do Vaidhi Bhakti and concentrate on the external aspects. In Vaidhi Bhakti, though we concentrate on the external aspects, we should not think that it's all external. Because if we do, then it is that means there's no devotion. So we do have to cultivate a relationship with the Lord and have feeling for the Lord. So that's our internal relationship also. So whether it is Vaidhi Bhakti or Raghunoya, we do have to have some internal aspect of cultivation as well. So one remembers the pastimes of the Lord, one chants the name of the Lord, and remembers the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. And one of the important aspects is living in Raja. This is emphasized in many places. Of course, we even say one of the important aspects of bhakti is living in the Dham, one of the five important aspects, not even just in Raghunuga, but in general, even in Vaidhi Bhakti, living in the Dham. So, but particularly for Raghunuga Bhakti, one would live in Vrindavan in order to cultivate that mood of Vrindavan. So, in other words, the spiritual place has a great influence on one's sadhana. We can't understand how that takes place, but then that's the truth. That's why it's emphasized. And one should follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. That actually is what Raghunuga means. So that's explained by Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion. Anuga means to follow. Ga means to go. Anu means after. Follow after. Go after. Follow after. Raga. Raga Anuga. So Raga stands for Ragatmaka Bhaktas. So Ragatmaka Bhaktas are the people of Vrindavan. They have Raga. And what is the definition of raga? It's intense love for Krishna, such that we don't see him as Supreme Lord. So that's the quality of all the people in Vrindavan, the Vrajavasi. So therefore, they're called ragatmaka. Atmaka means they're completely filled with this raga, this great attraction for Krishna. So we follow after them, and that's called raghunuga bhakti. Following after doesn't mean imitating, but we cultivate a relationship like the inhabitants of Raja. And the method is to select an ideal person with that particular rasa and become the follower of that person. So we become the follower of some servant of Krishna, like Raktaka, or the follower of a cowherd boy like Subala, or the follower of Nanda and Yasoda, Vatsalya Rasa, or the follower of the gopis, or Radharani, or the Manjari, whatever. So we follow after persons within Vrindavan, and that's called Raghunuga. In this work, Upadeshamrita, in the commentary, then Prabhupada mentions the different stages. He doesn't go into detail about them. They're also mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in several places, including Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and I think also in Harinam Chintamani. He mentions the different stages that one goes through in Raghunuga Bhakti. So we have Shravana Dasa. Hearing. So we hear about sadhana, we hear about sambandha gyan, we hear about the goal, we hear about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan and develop our attraction for Krishna and Vrindavan. And during that time we chant without offense continuously. Well, this is preparatory stage. Varana dasa. Varana means to accept. So what do we accept? We accept the Siddha Rupa. The Guru gives you that form. This is the Siddha Pranali thing, where he gives you the form. It may not be the Siddha Pranali as we see now in practice, but at least he'll indicate a form. In Jiva Dharma, there's a story of two people, young adults, and they visit the Babaji in Godarum Dweep, and they become very attracted to his explanations, to his chanting, etc., and they want to be devotees. And and they're practicing and develop themselves, then at a certain point they come to the guru and say, well, yeah, we would like to, you know, practice Raghunuga Bhakti. So then the guru says, okay, what kind of mood do you have? So one says, oh, I like to be a cowherd boy. I like to follow after the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. So then he gives him an identity as a cowherd boy. Okay, that's your swarup. Go meditate on that. And the other one says, oh, I want to follow after the gopis and the manjaris. I guess. So then he gives him a manjari form like that. So he gives him both different forms like that. So, but he doesn't give all those, what we call the ekadas bhavas, that are the, also the siddha pranali thing. In any case, I doesn't mention in detail at least. So, the Varnadasa means the guru gives you some form, and then you meditate on that form and serve in that form in your meditation. So, once you get that, then you start remembering. You use that form and you meditate, I am so-and-so person in Vrindavan, and in the morning I do this service, and afternoon I do this service, etc. That's called Smarnadasa. And of course, we cannot do it perfectly, but we try to concentrate the mind on that meditation. And it goes through stages, much like yoga. In yoga we have a stage called Dharana, which is ability to concentrate a little bit. And when it becomes more complete, we call it dhyana or meditation. Okay? When it's more complete and constant, it's called anusmriti. And when it's complete absorption, it is called samadhi, which is actually the goal of the eighth limb of Ashtanga Yoga. Remembrance turns into meditation and finally into samadhi. And in that samadhi, then one enters into the pastimes of Krishna. And one is a particular servant or gopi or friend or parent, etc. Then apanadasa, after the smaranadasa, which ends with the samadhi apanadasa. You don't have to meditate on your body that you're serving in. You get it. Automatically have that body and you perceive the Lord directly. So it's not a practice anymore. So you realize your spiritual identity. This will take place and begin to take place in bhava, and then it becomes more perfect in prema. And then you realize everything about spiritual world and Krishna and everyone there. So the last stage is called sampatti or prapanadasa or vastu siddhi. That means we give up the material body completely. And then all we have left is atma with a spiritual body, and we're in the spiritual world. So those are the stages described here. Now, if one does not do Raghunuga Bhakti like this, still with Vaidhi Bhakti, one can also come up to bhava and prema. And if you get bhava and prema and you see the Lord, obviously you must have spiritual eyes and you're going to serve Him if you have a spiritual body also. So whether you practice Raghunuga or Vaidhi Bhakti, if you get bhava and prema, then you end up with a spiritual body, etc. Anyway. So what's the difference? Why would you practice Raghunuga? So the Raghunuga is particularly to get a body in Goloka Vrindavan. Okay? Where we are participating with Krishna in his pastimes like that. If we do Vaidhi Bhakti, we have on veneration in our sadhana, and that continues into bhava and prema. So when you realize Krishna, you'll realize, oh, he's Supreme Lord. Like Vasudeva and Devaki, when they see Krishna, oh, yes, he's our son, but he's also Supreme Lord. So it's not quite the same, the realization. So we can have a parent like Nanda and Yasoda who see Krishna only as their child, or we have Vasudeva and Devaki who see Krishna as their child but also as Supreme Lord. So their prema is not so intense. So if we go through Vaidhi Bhakti, we end up with a less intense form of prema, and then we're not qualified for Goloka Vrindavan. So we can go to Mathura Dwarka or to a place called Aishwarya Goloka, which is Krishna as a cowherd boy, but all the people there, including the gopis and including Nanda and Yasoda, they also see Krishna as sort of like God, but he's a cowherd boy. So that's an alternative. If we want to see Krishna only as cowherd boy, then we practice that Raghunuga. Vishnu Chakrabarti also says, how do you get this Siddha Rupa that you meditate on? He says you could get it from your guru. You could get it from another person, maybe a Shiksha Guru of some sort. Or it could arise spontaneously within. With neither, not a external guru at all. So simply by your cultivation, eventually you develop a certain form and you meditate on that form and you develop until you get into bhava and prema. Okay, so that's the general sadhana, which is taught by the guru. Then we have these verses. The holy place, because it talked about living in the holy dham, Raja, so this is a glorification of Vrindavan. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha. Superior to Mathura is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasalila. So it's with Vrindavan that we get some of the most astonishing pastimes of Krishna. And of all the pastimes, the Krishna, the Rasalila, is considered to be the highest, the most astonishing. So this becomes the center of the whole Bhagavatam. Of course, 10th canto is the center of Bhagavatam, but in the 10th canto, the verses describing the Rasalila are considered the highest of all. And we'll find that, of course, there's many acharyas who comment on the whole Bhagavatam. When we come to the 10th canto, then we get many, many more commentaries on the Rasalila chapters than anything else. So, Vrindavan is superior to Mathura. Of course, you can say the whole Mathura area is one thing. Within that, Vrindavan is most excellent. Superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Krishna, was the site of his various loving pastimes. Superior. So Govardhan Hill, we have the Govardhan Lila, where Krishna lifts up the hill with his hand, which indicates his great attraction for it. And therefore, Govardhan is considered to be the best servant of Krishna. But apart from that pastime, in the other pastimes, the pastimes with Radha and the gopis, we often find Govardhan Hill mentioned. So it is part of his pastimes in different rasas like Sakya Rasa or Madhurya Rasa as well. Okay. When Krishna was with Balaram and then Brahma stole all the calves and cowherd boys and then Krishna manifested himself as all the calves and cowherd boys, then they would go to Govardhan. And then after 1 year, Balaram saw all the cows on the top of Govardhan Hill. And then they saw their calves, the calves which are actually Krishna at the bottom of the hill. And then the cows began running down the hill. And the cowherd men were very angry because they didn't want the cows to go out of control. They wanted to keep them on the hill for grazing. And they're running after the cows, scolding them and telling them to stop. But the cows would not listen to the cowherd men. And then finally the cows got to the bottom and they began licking their calves, who were actually Krishna. They were so attracted to those calves. They forgot about their other calves that had been born the next year. They were so attracted to these calves and that whenever they saw them, they came running to them like this. And the cowherd men came running down the hill angrily because they were trying to stop the cows and they couldn't do so. When they got to the bottom of the hill, then they saw their sons. So when they saw their sons, they forgot about the calves and the cows and they began embracing their sons because it was all Krishna. And then Balaram thought, this is very strange. Why are those cows so attracted to those calves? Why are the parents so attracted to their children suddenly? That they weren't like that last year, but suddenly they're completely attached to their children. They forgot their anger and everything, and they're simply crying and embracing their children. Why is this? So then Balaram thought about this, and then he thought various things. It cannot be some trick of demons, because I cannot be bewildered by demons. It cannot be some devatas impersonating the calves and the cowherd boys, because they can't do that either. It's not great rishis. And he went through all sorts of alternatives. Can't be this, cannot be that. And then he said, actually, nobody can do this except Krishna. He's the only one that can fool me. So then he looked very closely, and he said, yeah, it's all Krishna. But for 1 year, he couldn't figure it out either. So in other words, Krishna had bewildered Balaram for 1 year, which means that Krishna is supreme above everybody else. So then he went and asked Krishna, what did you do? And then Krishna explained everything. So anyway, all this took place on Balaram's realization of what had happened took place on Govardhan Hill also. And there are caves in Govardhan Hill, and when the monsoon season comes, Krishna runs into the caves. Yeah? And then they have snacks with roots and fruits from Govardhan Hill, etc. So, Govardhan Hill, very nice. But above all, the excellent Radha Kund stands supreme, for it's overflooded with the ambrosia prema of Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this Radha Kund at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So in other words, Rupa Goswami has, by showing the different places, ultimately, he comes to Radha Kund and says, that's the most excellent place of all. Why Radha Kund? Because, of course, this is Radha's pond. So, as I said, this is a glorification of the Holy Dham. And in practice, we do hearing and chanting, remembering the Lord, etc. And we do that within the Dhamma. And the Dhamma also is a very important aspect of our sadhana. So that's why the Dhamma is glorified here. We have Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. He's written, I think it is, over 1,000 verses glorifying Vrindavan. Just one glorification after the other. To show the importance of the place. Yeah. So we have the general area, which we can say is Mathura, which is greater than Vaikuntha. Of course, the whole of the spiritual world we can call Vaikuntha. Within that, we have the Mathura area. Within that, we get the Vrindavan area. Within the Vrindavan area, we get the Govardhan Hill area. And then within that, finally, we get Radha Kund is the most sweet, the sweetest place of all, because of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna there. So if you go to works like Govinda Lilamrita, many of the pastimes take place at Radha Kund. There's different bowers, houses made out of creepers and trees and things like that. And within those bowers, then there's all sorts of pastimes taking place between Krishna and the gopis. And all around the Radha Kund, there's each Sakhi has a bower. And then in the center of the Kunda, there's also a pavilion there, where Radha and Krishna also have pastimes. So in other words, everything is spiritual, yet there's an increasing excellence as we go to these different places, and finally we get to Radha Kund, and there we have the sweetest aspect of all. Yeah, which is like that. And right next to Radha Kund is Shyamakunta. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, then he was looking for Radha Kund everywhere. And then finally he found it. It was in a rice field somewhere, or a field, some little pond in a field. Yeah? So after he discovered it, later on it was enlarged and excavated, etc., until it comes out of the form we have it today. Originally it was just a pond in the field someplace, but gradually they developed that and put stairs on it and everything, and put it in its present form. This is where he killed Aristasura. Or at that time he killed Aristasura, and then Radha said, "Oh, you're impure because he killed a bull." So then Krishna made a pond, and then Radha made the pond, her own pond, in competition with Krishna. Yeah, so there's Lord Chaitanya there, in ecstasy. Okay. So, superior to fruit of workers, the Jnani is favored by the Supreme Lord. So, Jnana is superior to karma. Superior to the Jnanis are the devotees freed from Jnana. So, bhakti is superior to Jnana. The devotee who has attained prema is superior. And among those who obtain prema, the gopis are the best among the devotees. Radha is superior to all the gopis who would not take shelter of her kunda. So the verse not only glorifies the kunda of Radha, but also Radha herself. So Radha kunda was the best place, and then among all the people, Radha is the best devotee of all. So this is a glorification of Radharani. So we have the karmis at the bottom. They are, in one sense, okay, fine, because they're following the Vedic rules, following scripture, and they're gradually getting purified. But better than them are the Jnanis. The Jnanis are striving to get out of the material world. Better than those are the devotees, because they recognize and worship the Supreme Lord. And they, if they develop, they get to prema, that's superior. And among all those who have attained prema, the gopis in Vrindavan are supreme. And among all the gopis, Radha is the top. So therefore, this verse is a glorification of Radha. In the Haribhakti Vilas, Radha is not even mentioned. It's a whole work on deity worship. And it mentions how to worship Krishna. It never mentions Radha at all in there. So it's a little strange. But in compensation, then we have all these other works, and there's always glorification of Radha in the various works to the Goswamis on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, etc. We have great glorification of Radha. So very, very prominent there. Of course, in the Bhagavatam, people will say, well, Radha isn't even mentioned there. But this is an example of parokshavada, or indirect expression, where Sukadev Goswami does not mention things directly. He hides the meaning. I mentioned that Bhagavatam is like Mohini Avatar. So some of the meanings are not directly spoken in order to give the sweetness to the devotee and hide it from the materialists. So the whole section describing all the gopis and the Rasalila, and then Radha's name is not directly mentioned. That is an example of this parokshavad, to disguise the meaning, etc. Yet all the Goswamis, they point out in their commentaries on this section, this is Radha, this is Visakha, this is Lalita. They point out the different gopis involved in the Rasalila and the descriptions. So therefore, even the Bhagavatam ultimately is glorifying the love of Radha and Krishna. So Radha is never alone. She has her group. So in the spiritual world, among all the gopis in Vrindavan, there are millions of gopis, and they form into groups of persons or devotees who have similar types of moods. Of course, within Madhurya Rasa, we have various moods. Some gopis are more bold and harsh. Some are very sweet. Some are soft. Some are innocent. Some are older. Some are younger. Like this, we got all sorts of varieties mentioned in Ujjwala Nilamani. So they form into groups, huge groups. And we have called yutas. And each yuta has a head, a leader called a nayaka. She's the main gopi within that group, and she's the leader. So of all the groups, then we have the top group, that's Radha's group, and then Radha is the leader of that group. Second group is Chandravali's group, and then she's the head of that group. And then we have other groups as well. All sorts of groups there with their heads. And they're all serving Krishna. But the topmost group is Radha's group, and then Radha is the topmost of all. Okay. Of all the lovable gopis, Radha is the dearest. In every respect, her kunda is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. So, like the kunda, Radha is dear to Krishna, so the kunda of Radha is also dear to Krishna. That prema is very rarely attained even by great devotees, therefore it's even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. But if one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's prema similar to Radha's is fully aroused. So if you bathe in Radha Kunda, you'll get that type of prema, and you'll join Radha's group in the spiritual world. That's the promise given here. So Radha Kunda is a pond of water, but it's non-different from Radha. It's produced by Radha, and it's non-different from her. So in a spiritual world, everything is like non-different from itself. Everything is like one in one sense. So Radha is non-different from her Kunda and non-different from her prema. So if you associate with her Kunda, then you can get prema, similar to Radha's prema. By doing manasa seva, that's mental service with the siddha deha at this place, while continually chanting, completely inundated with the water of prema from Radha Kunda, the jiva will attain his vastu siddhi at the point of death, which means he'll give up his material body and enter into the spiritual world near Radha Kunda. So the original thread here is that it was glorifying living in the Dham, because the devotees want to hear and chant and live in the Dham. So where do you live? You live in Mathura, you live in Vrindavan, you live near Govardhan, and finally live near Radha Kunda. And if you do your sadhana there, hearing and chanting, etc., then you will attain, and you bathe in Radha Kunda, then you will attain prema, like Radha, in the spiritual world. So there are different levels. The lowest is called Rati or Bhava. We talk about Bhava and then Prema, so that Bhava is Rati. So that's the very general Stai Bhava that you have, emotional relationship with the Lord. It becomes a little more intense, it's called Prema. And even if you have all sorts of obstructions, as the gopis get obstructions from the parents, etc., still their Prema does not go away. It continues. So stronger than that is sneha. This means the heart melts. And man, which means anger, manifests. This is particularly manifested in Madhurya Rasa, where the gopis may get angry at Krishna for some reason or other, and then they refuse to see him. Pranaya, which means great intimacy. Raga. Pranaya becomes very intense. It becomes raga, with a great joy on meeting the Lord. And then more intense than that is anuraga, where one experiences the object of love in newer and newer ways all the time. And then more intense than that is mahabhava, in which the sattvika bhavas, like crying, fainting, shivering of the body, choking of the voice, they all occur in a very, very intense form simultaneously. So that's called Ruda. And they become more intense. It's called Adiruda. And within that we have Modana and Madana. And within Modana we have Mohana and separation, which gives rise to a type of madness, as when Radharani was talking to the bumblebee. So that's called Divyonmada and separation. And this Madana is a special type of ecstasy present in Radha at all times. And then this gives life to all the other bhavas in the spiritual world. So the Mahabhava is exemplified in Radha, and then she has these intense states of Modana and Madana. So various personalities can get up to different levels. In Dasya Rasa, generally you get up to Prema. In Sakya Rasa, you get up to Sneha. In Vatsalya, it goes up to Raga. It is said that Yasoda is continuously in Raga. He has great, great attachment for Krishna at all times. And then in Madhurya Rasa, we get Man, that's anger. Pranaya, this great intimacy. Anuraga, this can manifest in the gopis, but not in the queens of Dwarka. Mahabhava, again, in the gopis, not in the queens of Dwarka. And then in Mahabhava, we get Radha that gets this high level of Madana. And so various levels of love exist in the spiritual world in the various rasas. Yeah. Sakya rasa, Vatsalya rasa, and Madhurya rasa, and Radha has got the ultimate form of Mahabhava and Madana. So, because she's the highest devotee and has the highest ecstasy with Krishna, that relationship with Krishna is the highest. And therefore, that's why we worship Radha and Krishna as the main deity in our temple. Because that's the highest form of love in the spiritual world. Okay, any question there? There's no microphone. In Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda says that some people come to the Dham, but they're actually not there. So he says that the Dham is covered by a film, and they can't get in. They're walking all over the Dham, but actually they're not there because it's all covered up for them because of their materialistic attitude. So therefore, they don't experience anything of the Dham because of that. So if you're a materialist, you don't get the proper effect. So therefore you have to approach the Dham as a devotee of the Lord, then you get the proper effect. What is that? If you got the wrong consciousness, it's not so. Of course, if we're devotees, then hopefully we got at least some aspect of favorability, so good. Like any type of devotional service, various types of devotees can get various effects, and they get, like, even if it's accidental bhakti, you can get an effect. So you chant Narayan's name as Ajamil, and you get some effect, like destruction of karmas. So if one goes to the Dham, one is not offensive to the Lord in any way, it's accidentally goes there, one can get effect from that. If one is a very gross materialist, a sinful person who hates the Lord, then of course you won't get any effect. Like an aparadi, then they don't get any effect. So, and if one is a devotee of sorts, then he gets some effect. If he's a greater devotee, then he even gets more effect. Because there's less, he has less coverings, etc.
And the other part, would be that like, if they go to Krishna, but then they kind of become interested devotees and still living in the land, that worse, it's kind of a worse situation. Hmm? Would you say it's worse? Like
if they?
If they are devotees of sorts, and they still give some benefit, but if they
offense. Well, yeah, if you commit offense, then it's very, very serious. We also have offenses to the Dham, like we have offenses to the devotees. So if we're going to live in the Dham, then we have to be very, very careful that we don't offend devotees, and we don't offend the Dham in any way. Otherwise, it backfires, and then we get negative results also. Yeah.
And mentioned that when we bathe in Radha,
it's generally not recommended, and in the last, one of the last slides, it says, Manasa Puja, to worship Radha Kundalini in the mind. Because I remember my Guru Maharaj, when I went to Vrindavan years ago, Krishna Goswami said, you should just honor Radha Kundalini.
Sprinkle
some water on your head, yeah. Otherwise,
you
may offend the Dham by our activities.
Because I've seen also that it's a warning for us that someone
So in any case, we have to avoid offenses when we're doing all these activities. There's that festival, Radhakund Snan, on I think after Govardhan Puja or something. At that time they all gather at midnight or something and they celebrate. Do they all bathe at that time? Do they go in the water at that time?
I think that the lights go around, but
they don't bathe in it?
A lot of them
do. Yeah, a lot of them do, yeah, because they go there and bathe. So I think the local people and they, like that, they bathe there.
I was just reading about Navadvipa. So Lord Brahma Navadvipa is speaking of before you can enter the Dham. It is recommending meditating on Lord Chaitanya's Astakalaya. Vishnu Chakravita for Hasty. And I'm just wondering, I think Rupa Goswami would mention something about Lord Chaitanya and his such an essential teaching, this nectar of destruction, that before jumping to
go to Navadvipa first.
You mentioned something about serving Lord Chaitanya.
Actually the glorification in Navadvipa seems to becomes much more prominent with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he discovered the many places there and then he wrote many works glorifying it. So he gets much more prominence to it at that time. Of course, Prabodhananda Saraswati has one work attributed to him, which is a glorification of Navadvipa also. And I think also in Bhakti Ratnakar that occurred, that was written several hundred years afterwards, then we get a glorification of Navadvipa also. But we'll find less probably at the time of the Goswamis and more later on with the development of the worship of Lord Chaitanya, etc. Then they get more glorification of Navadvipa. So when it comes to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and writing Navadvipa Dhammahapyas, then it's quite logical what he says, because we approach Radha and Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That by his mercy, then we can understand Radha and Krishna. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole purpose in manifesting himself in this world. so that we can approach Radha and Krishna. So through mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can understand Radha and Krishna. So similarly, we can approach first Lord Chaitanya and his Dhamma, Navadvipa. And after we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his Dhamma, then we're more qualified to go to Vrindavan and worship Radha and Krishna. So that's the logic there that he establishes. I don't know if there are so many works written previously on the glorification of Navadvipa. I can't recall. But it's interesting if there is, but obviously Vrindavan gets prominently glorified at that time. Of course, even in like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we don't find direct glorification of Lord Chaitanya. It's all Radha and Krishna and the Rasa there. Yeah, he told him to go there and discover the places of Krishna's pastimes and write scriptures to prove all of the theological statements of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and glorifying the place with his pastimes.
Just in regard to the ask on about Lord Brahma's killing the cow, and the cow was always just brought out a detail that I wasn't aware of, but sort of read it, but pretty terrific sort of detail to think about the fact that, you know, the cows are only attached to calves for a certain period of time while they're getting milk, and then after that they just sort of leave them. So I don't know what period from that is, maybe 3, 4, 5 months or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It seems like they, you know, instead of having that natural sort of tendency to, you know, forget about the calves.
They got more attached to them.
Yeah, and then they've got other calves.
They forgot about them completely, the new calves. But nobody noticed how strange it was.
No,
yeah, because they're all in Yoga Maya. But he only realized after 1 year that it was very strange. And then he recalled, yeah, it was very strange. It's been going on for a year, this whole thing where the cows are so intoxicated with these old calves, and they're continually going after these calves, and the parents are so attached to their children suddenly. He didn't notice that until 1 year later. And he says, oh, this is very strange.
Yeah.
They got attracted to their own sons.
Thank you very much for a beautiful presentation. I was wondering whether for us sadhakas who follow Vaini Bhakti, whether of course we know a lot of Krishna, but whether maybe we realize or not our original form. If you follow Sri Prabhupada and the Acharyas, in the end of our life, I don't know, Krishna will go wherever they go. So it looks like, you know, is it possible, or we have to enter into Radha Yoga and start to meditate on our eternal form and get, because that we don't see Prabhupada telling anybody that, okay, you are this, you're that, you're Nāya. So we don't see any, or even, I don't know, there is spiritual master, I don't see anything telling there is that, oh, you go to Vrindavan, meditate on your form, the offerings in your mind. I don't see that. So I say, also it could be that, you know, if somebody does that, it would be offensive to their spiritual master, thinking, I know better than my guru, and look like jumping over Prabhupada's instruction, because he wanted us to preach Krishna consciousness to the world.
Yeah.
To the people who are, I mean, everybody can say, okay, I will be down with my own, that's look like my own liberation.
Yeah.
Whether we go for preaching and discipline rules.
Well, it's all according to qualification. If you're qualified for that, then it naturally develops.
So we don't unnaturally try to jump to a certain qualification. When that qualification develops, then naturally everything that is suitable for that gets arranged by Krishna and His mercy, etc. So it should be a natural development. On the other hand, we can't say that Prabhupada forbade it, because we have the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is basically Raganuga. And that's where he says you can only get Krishna and Vrindavan by doing Raganuga. This is the teachings there. So then why did Prabhupada interrupt the Bhagavatam translation to translate the Chaitanya Charitamrita? So that's one thing that's there, one important aspect of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it does mention this Raganuga and that path quite strongly. Yeah? And that's undeniable there. If you just look at the text, as it goes on. So it's not that he is hiding it or anything like that, but one has to be qualified to, you know, practice it. So therefore, he found that most of his devotees that he had initiated weren't qualified for it, so therefore he didn't emphasize that at all.
So back to the unless our spiritual master instructs us to do this, we shouldn't do it. And look like,
well, yeah,
look,
yeah.
Advice, but okay, you can go to the bike, but I don't know how to do that bike,
yeah.
I don't know how to bike.
Yeah.
So I'm still struggling with my mind, chances, and wrong, and aware of the principle.
Then, yes,
and
then,
yeah. I think, okay, this is very beautiful, very hard, very fantastic, and some people can reach there, but maybe I'm not in the level, so I'm
going
to follow strictly in there.
Another interesting thing is Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book before he went on to all the cantos. He did the Krishna book first, then he went back to the second, third, fourth, fifth canto. So he wanted to get that, you know. So make it available for us, even if so we're not fully qualified for it, but at least putting an emphasis that it's there for those who can develop to that level. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami mentions that if you cannot do Raganuga completely, you can mix the Vaidhi and the Raganuga together, and you have elements of both there, which may be easier for some persons. And I've also explained in other places that within ISKCON we call it Vaidhi Bhakti, and we're worshipping Radha and Krishna Vaidhi Bhakti. So the process of archana itself is pancharatrik, so that is Vaidhi in itself, the method we use to, you know, worship the deity in whatever form, whether it's Krishna or any other form, it's Vaidhi by its nature and within the temple. However, we are worshipping Radha Krishna rather than Vishnu or Krishna even in Dwarka. We're worshipping Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So that's an indication that we're going in the direction of Vrindavan rather than Dwarka or Vaikuntha or anywhere else. We read about Krishna all the time. We're studying Bhagavatam, which is a work on Krishna leading up to his pastimes in the 10th canto, the center of which is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So again, with an emphasis on Bhagavatam, in general, we're going in that direction of, you know, appreciating Krishna and Vrindavan. And we call Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. So why is he Swayam Bhagavan? Because he manifests these four qualities in Vrindavan: Madhurya Rupa, Madhurya Leela, Madhurya Bhakta, and Madhurya Venu, the flute. These are all manifested in Vrindavan again. So Yeah? The whole emphasis of Bhagavatam is Svayam Bhagavan Krishna. So reading the Bhagavatam gets us in that direction also. And of course it's up to the individual how much he wants to do the Vaidhi and how much he wants to concentrate on the sweeter aspects of Krishna. But though we are having this within the organization, we have rules and regulations that are more or less Vaidhi, still there's freedom there to develop that spontaneous mood to Krishna also within that structure. So we can say it's a mixture. Well, this is the whole problem. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was fighting with so many different groups because, and then he was, because they were like taking the process but not following it properly. So they would take the Siddha Pranali, but they wouldn't be following it properly. So how can they claim to be, you know, I got my Siddha Deha, but they weren't even practicing it. So the form is, you know, we would say the formality of that is not what's important. It's that if you practice it, fine. And even if you don't get the Siddha Pranali, as I said, it comes internally anyway as you develop. So it's not that we have complete dependence upon that particular form the Babaji giving you the initiation or whatever with your Manjari form and 11 aspects of it, etc.
My understanding is that Prabhupada didn't put any he didn't promote that type of
how do you say,
practice or
meditation?
Just because in Kali Yuga, it will be really,
if
not really recommended.
It's a little difficult to preach that type of raganuga to people in general. And what Gorky Shar says, your swarup is revealed by chanting Hare Krishna. So everything's in the holy name also, ultimately. So we chant Hare Krishna, and then we can develop in the same way. Gradually, our relationship with Krishna is revealed. As I said, even if you don't, if you do Vaidhi Bhakti, eventually you get your swarup also in the spiritual world.
Huh? We don't have hanker for.
Yeah. We hanker for Krishna and serving Krishna, and then that develops. Huh? And of course, if it aids us, then we can do it. If we find it difficult, then we'll do other things. But if it aids us, then we can develop in that direction. Well, in general it is. Oh, you should read it and you'll see. He gives several statements there that you can't attain Vraja unless you, Vraja Krishna, unless you do Raghunuga Bhakti. He says that directly there in the text. Lord Chaitanya.
But what is the difference between doing practicing Raghunuga Bhakti?
And of course we get a whole section with Ramananda Roy. The whole latter section is all Madhurya Rasa, pastimes of gopis and Krishna and things like that. What's the?
So what's the difference between a guru giving you a Siddha Swarup like saying, oh, you're a gopi, and then you ask for the gopi, for some people. And then there is a difference, isn't it, between that and just serving Krishna and trying to serve as the best we can with an inspiration of some inheritance of Vrindavan.
Well, then that's also Raghunuga. Well, yeah, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur avoided it, because that was like artificial, and people that weren't qualified did it, and then they didn't. It's just a name for them. I got this initiation, so I'm like this, you know. But actually, they weren't at that level.
So it's not different.
Well, you don't artificially do it. As I say, according to qualification, then you could do. But we don't have any arrangement anyway for getting your Siddha Swarup within ISKCON, so that's another problem. So the way we just naturally develop a chanting Hare Krishna. But even they don't have it directly, really. Well, yeah, but, yeah.
Another question I wanted to ask is regarding, you mentioned how Radharani is not even mentioned in Bhagavatam. wondering.
Indirectly.
Where?
Oh, well, we'll find in different Puranas like Padma Purana or Brahma Vavarta Purana, then there's pastimes of Radha and Krishna mentioned directly there. Yeah. And then, of course, the Goswami's other works have Radha, Krishna, Leela, and Vishnu Chakravarti, they have pastimes, etc.
But the worship of Radharani started after Lord Chaitanya?
There is some worship before, so we have like Jayadev Goswami writing about Radha Krishna pastimes in his. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya would listen to Jayadev and was it Chandidas and Vidyapati. There were a few poets who were writing about Radha Krishna previous to Lord Chaitanya also.
Does that sort of actually connect with the fact that Krishna's son, Krishna Vrindavan, is the male and then we're all female, like everybody in Vrindavan is sort of like a female and they serve Krishna, so therefore our constitutional position naturally gravitates toward being a manjari?
In one sense, of course, we find, of course, in Vrindavan, they're not all female. We have males, Nanda Maharaj, the elder cowherd man. We have the cowherd boys also. So the other rasas, we get Sakya Rasa, that's a male. Vatsalya could be either man or woman as mother or father. Dasya for Krishna would be male again. Shantarasa, generally male, could be female also, possibly. So it could be the form you take is there, but in constitution we're all servants, so in that sense we're female. We're servant. We're not, the Purusha means the dominating person, or the master, and the female means the servant. So we're all Nitya Krishna Das, so in that sense we're all Prakriti, we're all serving the Purusha. But within the spiritual world then that takes various forms of service. And so maybe male or female there. But it's quite unlike the male and female in the material world.
Maharaj, you all of us are delighted to worship in the Buddha Prasadam. We see them there chanting also in some kind of deep look like.
The Gomukhi.
The
bag. I think Sri Krishna Sharanam Gacha or something like that. Sri Krishna Sharanam something, I think that's their mantra.
Where
did the mantra take
it down?
I don't know. Introduced by Vallabhacharya, I suppose, or he got it from some Shastra, I suppose.
And what about the other Sampradaya, for example? Do you know what they chant?
Om Namo Narayanaya.
And they chant Japa
Vidya? Many don't. So there's, I don't know, maybe their Gayatri mantra also, possibly. And Madhvas, I think, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya is one of their mantras. But I don't know how much sadhana they do because they concentrate a lot on the deity worship rather than either japa or kirtan. They don't do that. That's not their sadhana. So it's our sampradaya that has kirtan as the main sadhana. So we chant Hare Krishna also in relation to that. So we also get mantra, but we're concentrating on Hare Krishna. Yeah. So as for Balabhas, I don't know. Do they do kirtans? I don't know, but the deity worship seems to be very prominent there. Yeah, very, very prominent, the deity worship. So probably the Nam Sankirtan is not the Yuga Dharma for them, I don't know. So.
Because as one progresses, they
Yeah. It's largely internal, as I'm saying, yeah. So that's not something we publicize anyway. So you can do the external activities like this Avaidhi Bhakta, and plus you do the internal as well, which is concentration on, you know, the meditation aspect. Okay. Hare Krishna.